Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church podcast. We pray that this message will help you in your walk with Christ. The title of Dr. Dortch's sermon is What Jesus Always Leaves. The big idea is that the peace Jesus gives enables us to look upon our uncertainties with untroubled hearts.
This morning, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, and we're going to look at a verse in the Gospel of John that reminds us that what Jesus has left behind is a presence, a source of power that will enable us to confront every challenge in life with peaceful hearts. This is the last series in what I will acknowledge has been a lengthy series of how we can embrace certain truths for these uncertain times. I felt that such a series would be important to us all because of how chaotic life has become and how we have needed a constant, something that we can lean into, a presence, someone that we could accept, who then might be able to help us to know the way, the truth, and the life that Jesus came to be. So, as you have your Bibles, hear this word in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, the 27th verse, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. You know, I've reached the stage in life where I have begun to look back at so many of the lessons that have come my way, lessons that have formed and shaped me into the person that I am today. And one of those life lessons for which, in this season of the year, I am grateful is the lesson that I learned long ago that whenever I go someplace, I need to be careful not to do anything to make that place less of what it is, but instead to make sure that when I leave everything in a state in which I found it, that I do not do anything to mar or disrupt or disfigure that place. It's a part of what it means to be a good steward. Chances are you learned that lesson as well growing up. It's a good lesson to keep in mind, especially when we find ourselves in places that are more than unfamiliar. They're places that in no way we can call home. My parents taught me that lesson early on in life, but I think about how so often it was reinforced from so many different directions. Boy Scout campouts, you know, the Scoutmaster drilled in us how important it was to make sure that we did not mar the pristine area that we had chosen to set up our campgrounds in. If you're a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, you would have learned that lesson somewhere along the way. How, as a part of church youth groups, you know, we would go somewhere to share together in a retreat setting, or we would attend a conference. We'd stay overnight, and our youth minister would make sure that we understand that we didn't want to do anything that would embarrass the cause of Christ. So let's take care of everything that we see, what we've been given to enjoy. That made sense to me. playing high school sports, particularly when we would go on the road, even when we would travel just 9 miles down the road to Livingston, Alabama, and play our fiercest rivals. The coach would say, okay, now let's leave this locker room exactly as we found it. Do you understand that? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even though it was our fierce rival, we had to respect their property. And of course, over the years, I've seen how that has been a lesson that has made more than good sense. It's reasonable to acknowledge the hospitality that folks show you, what they afford you to make your time there as enjoyable as it can be. It is a matter of stewardship from a spiritual perspective. It bears witness to who we are and how we care for all people and all creation. But along the way, I've often thought, isn't it also important for us to be able to be in a place to leave something behind that might make the places where we go better places? I mean, is it only about maintaining the status quo? Don't mess anything up. Leave everything exactly as it is. Don't mar anything. Don't cause anything to be disheveled or destroyed. Might it be something worth our while? Might it not make sense? Might it not be a wonderful witness for us to add value to the places where we go by contributing something or offering something? I don't think that's a bad question to consider. It's a question that I think about every time I look at this passage of Scripture from John's Gospel, where Jesus is speaking with his disciples as a part of his farewell discourse. Jesus is about to leave his disciples. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus is preparing himself to go to the cross, to give his life for the sins of the world. And he's preparing his disciples for the time when he will no longer be physically present with them. And so he wants his disciples to remember him. He wants his disciples to carry on the work that God had sent him to do. And so in this passage of Scripture, Jesus leaves behind not just something that will make the disciples and even the larger world a better place. He leaves someone behind who will enable his disciples to have every resource that they need to carry out the mission that God has given them to do. And so in this 27th verse of the 14th chapter, Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace I'm giving you. And it's my peace that I'm leaving behind. It's not the kind of peace that the world gives that I'm giving you. Because with my peace, your hearts never have to be troubled, and you never have to be afraid." That word peace was a word that the disciples would have known. It was a most familiar word to them. As Jewish men, Jesus and his disciples were all Jews. And peace was a part of the fabric of Jewish culture. The word shalom, shalom, it is such a fruitful term. In our day, someone ask you to define peace, and you respond, well, it's when you're not in conflict with another person. It's when you've decided not to be at war with someone else. But it's actually, from a biblical perspective, something that is so much deeper and so much more substantive. It refers to a sense of well-being. It characterizes the soul that has everything it needs to be able to experience God's abundance. Someone has said it is having access to every resource that allows you to be wholly and fully you. You don't lack anything to become the person that God has created you to be. So it's not just about, you know, I'm not really at odds with anybody. I get along with everyone. It's knowing this calmness that allows you to be joyful even in the face of all the chaos and confusion that are swirling around you. You know, I think about the world in which we're living today. If there's one thing that this world does need more than anything else, it's that sense of peace, the peace that Jesus promises. Because this is such a divided place. Our nation is such a conflicted nation. We, at one time, not long ago, would have said, well, you know, those people on the other side of the globe may not get along with each other, but while we disagree with each other here in America, we kind of have found ways to be able to manage things. That is suddenly in great jeopardy. It's a disordered, disheveled world, and while we might like to blame the virus or the Congress or you fill in the blank, the only people we have to blame is ourselves, the place that we have been given is a place that we have not made better. What we have contributed to this world has marred this world. We have no one to blame but ourselves. There is no well-being. There is no calmness. There is no sense of abundance. So how do we attain it? Well, it probably won't surprise you when I say that the answer to what ails the world and each one of us is Jesus. That's a simple answer, but it is hardly a simplistic answer, and I trust you understand the difference. When I say what this world needs is the peace that Jesus provides, that's more than a pious cliche, you know, something that a preacher would just automatically spout out on a Sunday morning in a sermon. It is instead a promise that Jesus himself offered to people who found themselves facing very troubling circumstances. The peace about which Jesus is speaking is a gift. What did he say to his disciples? Look at the passage of Scripture. Peace I give you. My peace, it's not like the world gives. What I'm giving you is different. What Jesus is talking about here is something that we will never experience in our own power. That's why the world is so anxious about the future. We can sign all the treaties that we might care to sign. We can sign them until the ink runs dry in our pens. We can arm ourselves to the hilt, both personally as well as nationally. We can run from every threat. We can stick our head in the sand whenever a challenge comes our way. But none of that even remotely approaches the sort of peace that the Lord Jesus is referring to in this passage of Scripture. It is a peace that happens when we open our hearts to the indwelling presence of the risen Jesus, what Jesus called the Holy Spirit. You look at the verses of Scripture that are just prior to verse 27, and it is always a dangerous thing for us to read and attempt to interpret any one passage of Scripture in isolation. It's always important to see what's happening in the larger context. In this case, Jesus connects this peace that he grants with God's gift of what Jesus called the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to his disciples that he is about to depart from them, but God the Father will send the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, in my name, under my authority. And that Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will abide with you to teach you and to remind you of everything that I have said to you, so that when you face all of these uncertainties in life, you can do so with an untroubled heart, because you don't face them by yourself or in your own power, but the presence of the Holy Spirit is there with you to provide you with everything that you need for that most anxious and uncertain time. You look at the Bible. I mean, you want to branch out from John 14, 27. Just look at the entirety of Scripture. And you go back to the book of Genesis. And in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, it's dark. And it's chaotic. And there's this formless void that the writer of Genesis describes. And suddenly, God intervenes. God takes the initiative. And out of nothing, the Spirit of God hovers over that chaos, that uncertainty, and what takes place in the first chapter of Genesis is an orderly approach to creation, which includes us. The first day, the second day, the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day. And on the seventh day, God rests, because what God has brought about has added so much more value to what existed before God showed up. In the Gospels, Jesus is on the cross, and he is spilling out his lifeblood for the salvation of the world, which includes you and me. He died for us and for our salvation. And as Jesus is speaking his last words on the cross, one of those words that he utters, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm trusting you in this hour, God, and I'm finding the strength to face this pain and agony and suffering and the knowledge that you are at work in what appears to be the most gruesome of acts. God, you are here, and I'm trusting you to bring good out of all of this evil." And God did. On the third day, Jesus now has been raised from the dead. He trusted God with his spirit. God brought Jesus to life. He brought him to life from the grave. And on that Easter evening, it's that first evening, the disciples have locked themselves in an upper room because they're afraid that what happened to Jesus could happen to them. And Jesus shows up. The doors are locked. He just shows up. And do you remember what was the first word Jesus spoke to his disciples? Peace. And then he breathed upon his disciples. You remember that? And said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And they did. And in the book of Acts, in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus ascending into heaven told them that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they would be his witnesses to places like the Dominican Republic, but also places like Mountain Brook, all around the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples, and they began to speak in ways, the good news of Jesus Christ, that everyone around them could understand. And in the book of Acts, I challenge you to read the book of Acts and notice how many times the word boldness appears in Acts. Where did that boldness come from? It came from the presence of the Holy Spirit. It came from their ability to trust God with their circumstances and situations so that they could look at all of the uncertainties they were facing with untroubled hearts. And that's the same promise that Jesus is making to us, his disciples, today. And this is a tough time for you. You're uncertain what tomorrow will hold. If you want to know the peace, sense of well-being, know the resources that you need to be holy and fully you, to live into the purpose for which God created you, trust your circumstance, your situation, to the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you will receive every resource that you need to face your uncertainties with an untroubled heart. I like to think of the Holy Spirit as a bubble. This season of COVID, we've been hearing a lot about bubbles. I never thought I would hear so much about bubbles. Oh yeah, we heard about bubbles, the kind of bubbles that children would blow with the soapy substance that they would put in little rings and they would... No, that's not the kind of bubble that we have come to learn to live with in this day. It's instead precautions that people must take to complete projects. You know, I got a big project at work, and it involves a lot of other people, and for us to be able to manage this project, we got to make sure that no one goes down with COVID, because that could disrupt the whole thing. And people are anxious. We've got to make sure that we're following guidelines and protocols. Hey, did your favorite team get to play yesterday? Well, if you're an Alabama or Auburn fan, that's not something that you were guaranteed to be able to enjoy like you were in previous college football seasons because, you know, one player tests positive and all of a sudden they got to do contact tracing and people go into quarantine. And if you don't have enough people to play, or either you have certain parts of the team that are all quarantined, then the game has to be called off. And we're trying to finish the season. And so we got to make sure that teams respect the bubble. And when your team doesn't play, you say to yourself, now why couldn't they do what they were told? It's just, it's madness. You own a business, and you're the sole proprietor, and if something happens to you or one of your key employees, will you be able to keep the doors open? Ask someone who owns a restaurant. If I hear the word lockdown, it doesn't bother me as much because I'm going to be here the next Sunday, even if it's just me and a few others and we're preaching to a camera. But if I own a restaurant and I hear the word lockdown, I remember what happened in the spring and I'm wondering, am I going to be able to make it? Think of all the restaurants in this area that were vibrant pre-COVID. I mean, I can't believe some of the restaurants that have closed. But they couldn't make it. Margins were so thin, and so they're anxious, and they're telling their employees, you got to watch where you go, and they're hoping the public pays attention. Last Monday, here at the church, you know, we have staff meeting every Monday. I never thought about this, but someone on the staff raised the concern that, you know, we're moving into the season of Advent, and our music ministry does the heavy lifting. And I really hadn't thought about it, Joel. You know, something happens to me. There literally are five or six other people who can preach in my place. But we talk about hanging of the green and the glorious service, and if something happens to this guy, or if something happens to you, Sarah, and this guy has to go into quarantine, or something happens to me and I've been around you, Joel, because I've been in your office taping and that you got it. You see? And so we're reminding ourselves, we got to create a bubble. And we, of course, the whole Thanksgiving holiday, and you got to be careful about who you're around and all of that. Let's try to get through Advent and Christmas. And we can all get sick the first of the year. That's what we're telling. We don't want. But you see what I'm saying? These kinds of bubbles. When Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and the peace the Spirit provides, it's not so much a presence that comes to us that keeps us from being in relationship to others, but it is a peace and a power that we receive that allows us to face a time like this without fear that somehow the challenge will overcome us. And to believe that with God's help, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, that advocate, that comforter, that holy member of the Trinity that comes alongside us, as the old Serenity Prayer puts it, you know, the prayer, God help me to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's real peace. Okay, I can't change that. I can change that, but am I bold enough to give what is necessary to do it? And do I really understand the difference between the two? God, come alongside me to help me manage this season. Let me put my life in your hands. I've been watching a lot of commercials lately. And I always pay attention to the commercials. I know a lot of people that flip the channel when a commercial comes on, but I'm always interested in how people market their product to others, how they try to scratch the itch that exists in other people. I've been noticing a lot of insurance commercials on television lately. And I thought, well, you know, what's that all about? Well, this is an uncertain time. You don't know if a tree's going to fall on your house or if you're going to have a wreck on the way home. Somebody's going to run into you. You don't know what kind of calamity might befall you. And so, you know, in the face of all these uncertainties, it's always good to have as much protection as you can. And so it seems like every other commercial is a commercial for an insurance company. Either Amazon or an insurance company, which tells you the kinds of days that we're living in. Even the beer companies have fallen off. The alcohol industry, you don't see as many of those commercials as you do for insurance companies and Amazon. There are primarily three companies that seem to be dominating the airwaves. One promises you that you can get an insurance quote in 15 minutes or less. And they do it really creatively. It's kind of clever, some of their commercials. And there's another company that will assure you that they can allow you to bundle your coverage. And if you do that, then you can make sure that regardless of whether you're talking about your home or your vehicle or just yourself, you can make sure that you've got any coverage that you need. You can put all of these together and they've got you covered. And then there's a third company that says to you, if you go with us, you can know that you're in good hands. Now, this is not an endorsement for any of those three companies because personally, I don't have my coverage with any of them. I've got my coverage with some other company that I don't know that I've ever seen an advertisement for. But that gives me the right to be able to be a little bit objective about what I'm seeing, at least the appeal behind it. And I say to myself, you know, I'm a busy person. Man, I can appreciate the fact that I can get a quote in 15 minutes or less because I got a lot of things to do. And people do as well, and they're trying to get things done as quickly as they can, so that's not a bad idea. And to know that all the bases are covered and that, you know, you can make sure that regardless of what unforeseen circumstance might come upon you, that it's not gonna bankrupt you, that's a good thing, to know that here's a company that can make it easy for you to put all of those coverages together. You don't have to have this kind of coverage with this company and this kind of coverage with this company. And they all do that, but this particular company seems to emphasize the advantages that they offer in that respect. But that company that tells viewers, you go with us, you're in good hands, that makes my soul sing. That's what I want to know, that I'm in good hands. And it's that sort of promise that Jesus is offering his disciples in this teaching. You don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be afraid, regardless of what comes against you, because I'm going to give you my peace. It's not like the world gives. And I'm not just going to give you something. I'm going to give you someone, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name. And he will teach you and he will remind you everything that I have said to you. Your life is in good hands. Do you know that peace? If so, then you can face whatever comes your way with an untroubled heart. Because you're not alone. Your life is in the hands of God. And through his Holy Spirit, he is with you every step of the way. So no matter how rocky or chaotic it gets, your soul can be at peace. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that today's message brought you hope as we continue to love God and live with grace and generosity. Don't forget to check back here for more podcasts. And as always, go out and do the Lord's good work.